Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you guys ready for some racing?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear you go. Vroom. Let's go. Ready? You're weird. All right, now, I'm really glad to be here, looking forward to the day, and I know they're going to have a lot of great activities. Man, this is a great atmosphere, isn't it? Wow. I don't know where they came up with all this, but then they've got the cars out there, and I hope that maybe Joe Gibbs is going to appear today. I don't think it's going to happen, but it'd be great. But then, I don't know if they're going to be able to start those cars up or what, but at least we get to look at them, and we're going to have a great time, and I just think it's a great theme, and racing, because there are a lot of analogies between racing and the race and running the Christian life. And so this is great. Let's take our Bibles for this very first message and turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and let's stand together out of respect for Scripture, and then we will read these verses, Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I want to get familiar with, are there any of you that I've seen before somewhere? If you've heard me preach somewhere before, would you raise your hand real high? Good. How many of you are from within 100 miles of Lattimore? Would you raise your hand real high? Okay, quite a few. Good. How many of you came to Camp Barnabas this last summer? Would you raise your hand? How many of you didn't go to Camp Barnabas this summer? Why? Hope that you'll think about going to Camp Barnabas. If you didn't go here, that you'll go somewhere else. And then, let's see, how many of you go to public schools? Would you raise your hand? Good. How many of you go to Christian schools? All right, quite a few too. And then how many of you are homeschooled?
Yeah!
Okay, quite a few. And then, that's great. Let's see, how many of you are 7th grade? 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 13th grade, 12th grade. All right, we've got a, look like a mid, a real spread there. That's great, and we're going to have a great time. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, I want to talk to you about running the race for God. In Hebrews chapter 12, I want to read verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that is set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that you would use the Word of God. I pray, Father, that you'd help us all to be encouraged by the Word. I pray, Lord, for decisions that need to be made today. It's not just about encouragement. It's about getting in shape spiritually. It's about even finding faith for the very first time, perhaps, for some. And it's about laying aside sin, laying aside distractions, and getting our focus back on what we're here on earth for. And the only way, Lord, that this is going to be accomplished, we know, is not by my talking, but by your Holy Spirit moving in hearts. So, Father, we do pray that this would be more than a day of us talking. It would be a day of you working. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Joe Gibbs Racing is a group of NASCAR racing teams owned and operated by Joe Gibbs. He first started racing NASCAR circuit in 1991. Joe Gibbs Racing is located in Huntersville, North Carolina. That's about just 60 miles away from here. Have any of you been by there to see where his headquarters is? Well, since the year 2000, Joe Gibbs Racing has amassed 3 Sprint Cup championships, has also won many other championships despite their winning 3 championships with Pontiacs and Chevrolets. The team switched to the newcomer, Toyota, in 2008. Some like that, some don't. They currently have 3 drivers for the Sprint Cup Series, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, and Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart will be leaving at the end of the year and becoming his own owner of a racing team in 2009. They have two teams in Nationwide Series featuring several drivers, including Joey Logano. This year, as of August 17th, Joe Gibbs Racing had won 14 of the 22 Nationwide races. They are one of the best racing teams in all of NASCAR. Now, Ambassador Baptist College started these TAC conferences that we're having about 1991, 1992. I don't remember the exact time. But it was just about the same time that Joe Gibbs started his racing team. Now, I was privileged to be at the very first TAC conference. And we chose the name TAC with good reason. T-A-C stands for Teens in Action for Christ. And when we chose that, we hoped that we would be able to have a conference that would challenge teens to do that very thing, to be in action for Christ. Now, this year, we want to challenge you to actively run your race for Christ. Now, do you know a little bit of interesting information about Joe Gibbs? Not everybody does know, I guess. Joe Gibbs is a Christian. And Joe Gibbs, though he's not a separated Christian where we would be, he has good testimony among his peers. And I'll guarantee you that if Joe Gibbs were able to be here today, he would say, you know, we've won a whole lot of races. We've got a great, successful racing team. But if you put all the NASCAR races together combined and all the victories combined, they would pale in importance to the race of the Christian life. Hebrews 12:1 tells us we're running a race, and that race, the Christian life, is not to be more important than another person. But the person in that race has one goal, and that is when his life is done, that God would say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've done what I've asked you to do. The theme of the conference is Joe Gibbs Racing. It's a great theme, as I mentioned. The Apostle Paul made several analogies between racing and the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I ran the race. And Hebrews 12:1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Today I want to speak to you about a spiritual racing series, not just NASCAR racing series. And the spiritual racing series is about running the Christian race for God. Now, a lot of analogies to racing. Four main points in this morning's session that I hope will be a challenge, an explanation, and encouragement to you. And then the next time we get together, we'll carry on and really try to drive home some encouraging, challenging thoughts. All right, now, in this one, we're going to talk about the history of racing. Number two, we're going to talk about the standard of good racing. Number three, we're going to give you some secrets of good racing. And we're going to close with looking at the joy of racing. That's a pretty good pattern to follow, isn't it? How many of you would like to learn a few secrets about good racing from Joe Gibbs? Would you? Okay. How many of you wouldn't like to know some good secrets from Joe Gibbs? How many of you are here today? Would you raise your hand? Okay. How many of you think the guy next to you is probably not here today because he didn't raise his hand? All right, dudes, come on. How many of you would like to hear some good racing strategy from Joe Gibbs? I mean, all right. Even if you could just learn how to do it so you could get in the car and go around that track, and when it's all done, you feel like, whoa, cool. Right? Wouldn't that be great? Come on now. Now, we're going to learn about some really good racing techniques in this morning's session, too, that'll help you be faithful in your race for God. But first, let's talk about the history of racing. Now, in Joe Gibbs' history, he basically had four cars, car number 2, car number 11, car number 18, car number 20, and he had several different racers that drove those cars. I've got a list here of all the different racers, of all the different cars, And if you're ever interested in them, you can look at these people from David Jarrett, Daytona 500 in 1993. Dale Jarrett won it. Then you take a look at Tony Stewart, and this year Tony Stewart's just tearing up the track. And then you take a look at the car that he's driving. That's awesome. It's the M&M car. And then you take a look at Kyle Busch. He's driving the very first car that they ever put out in 1992. And it's just pretty awesome about the history of these great drivers and these great cars and this great racing team. Now, when we look at the spiritual race, it's even a greater race when we look at the history of these great riders and racers for God. And it's wrapped up in that word witnesses. It says, seeing that we have such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, what are these witnesses referring to? The witnesses are referring to the people in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, anybody tell me, if you want to find where the Hall of Fame is for baseball, what state do you go to? Where? New York. If you want to learn where the Hall of Fame is for NASCAR, where would you go? Charlotte. If you want to learn where the Hall of Fame is for Christians and followers of God, what chapter in the Bible would you go to? Hebrews 11. And in Hebrews 11, you have this great group of men and women who ran the race for God. You've got Abraham, you got Abel, you got Moses, you got Sarah, and all of these great people that ran the race for God. Now, they're all described in Hebrews 12 and verse 1 with one word. Let's look at it again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of what? Witnesses. Now, look up this way. The word witnesses gives you real insight as to what these guys were when they were on earth and what they were doing and what we're supposed to be doing. All right, the word witnesses has three applications. Number one, it means that they were eyewitnesses of the powerful events of God in their day. Now, you can be an eyewitness of something. I saw one time a crime. I was an eyewitness of that crime. Now, you can also be a verbal witness of something. I can testify what I saw took place in that crime. But you can also be a third kind of witness. The word witness here is taken from the Greek word martos, which is martyr. And the Bible teaches that Stephen was a martyr or a witness for God. So this word witnesses is also referring to martyrs. Now, I saw a crime take place. I was an eyewitness. I could testify about that crime. I would be a verbal witness. And because of my verbal witness, those gangsters may come back and kill me. I could be a martyr for that witness. Now, these three are the ways that we are witnesses for God in our day. All right, now, first of all, you have the witness of the power of God. You've got the stories in the Hebrews 11 chapter about witnesses. Daniel was a man who was delivered from the mouth of the lion. Now, here's Daniel. He's in the den of lions. He prays, and God delivered him from the den of lions. He was a witness of the power of God. Now, as that experience came in his life, you know what Daniel also did? He became a verbal witness of what God had done. And as a result, the king made Daniel's God his God. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saved they were saved from the fiery furnace. Now, they were first-hand witnesses of the power of God. But then, they became verbal witnesses of the power of God, as that king, also seeing what God did, also became a follower of Jesus Christ. Moses was an eyewitness to the power of God. Now, don't go to sleep on me, young people. Stay with me and concentrate. Moses saw God part the Red Sea. They walked across on dry ground, and on a scale of 1 to 10, how big was that miracle? Come on, guys, are you with me today? How many of you think the guy next to you is not here because he never raises his hand or ever talks back? Would you raise your hand if you think the guy next to you is not here? Okay. All right. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big was the miracle that Moses saw when God parted the Red Sea? Let's say it. 10, 11, 72, something huge, right? Say it right. All right, now, we've got this big, huge miracle, guys. Get with me. We got one day to get at this stuff. And I don't have time to go through and try to get you guys into thinking. We got to get right into it. Amen? Amen? Now, we have got an opportunity to be encouraged in the Lord, but we're not going to get encouraged if we just sit here going, ho-hum, hope he says something funny. Now, let's tune in. Now, here we got some miracles, and if you will think, you will recognize it's a great miracle. Now, Moses is walking across, and it parts, and he goes, wow. And do you think that Moses got impressed with God? Guys, that happened. And when Moses saw it, Moses goes, wow. And he got impressed with what he saw. You know what else happened to Moses? Moses was a testimony, a witness, an eyewitness of going out into the wilderness, and he saw this bush catch on fire. And this bush catches on fire, and out of the bush, this voice comes and talks to him. You know what Moses did? He was going, wow, God is a powerful, amazing God. Now, Moses also was an eyewitness of the fact that he was able to just go over and touch a rock with his rod, and out of the rock came water. And Moses was an eyewitness of the power of God. Now, guys, I'll tell you why I'm not ho-hum about the things of God, because I'm an eyewitness of the power of God. Now, listen to me. I see it all the time. Just yesterday, just give you an illustration. I'm sitting in one of the classes here, and I look at one of the college students who's sitting right in front of me. And he's a great young man. His shoes are polished, and he's just got a smile on his face. He's got the joy of the Lord. But as I'm sitting behind him, I see his cross his legs, you know, and kind of leaning forward in the seat. And his heels go up. You know what I saw underneath them? Holes in the bottom of his shoes. Simply leather stretched over, polished, but holes, and you can see his socks. Now, you know what that reminded me of? When I was in college, I was so poor that I couldn't afford a pair of shoes. And I bought this shoe goop, and I put it on the end, and I had a big goop on the bottom of my foot. And I would walk through the rain, and it still wouldn't keep that water out. Well, it seemed like the Lord laid in my heart, even though I really don't have the money to spare, why don't you buy him a pair of shoes? And so I go to my bank, and I get out $80, and I look and I say, okay, Lord, is this just my emotion or is it really your leadership? So then I prayed, Lord, if you want me to give him this money, I'm going to go to the commons. And if he is in that commons, I'm going to know that it's you that wants me to give this to him. I go into the commons. You know how many people are in there? About 4. Look around. He's not in there. So I go ahead and I buy a book. I turn around, and guess who's in there? This young man is in there, and he's giving a tour to some of you guys and explaining what ambassadors like, showing them the commons. So I knew the power of God. He wanted that given to him. He demonstrated it. And I'm an eyewitness to the fact that God is powerful. Now then, I go into the cafeteria. And I sit down, and I see a young man there who's a good friend of mine, and I just sit down, and I just start chatting with him. And I say, how's it going? And he says, this is going on, that is going on, and he's got this problem going on. And you know what? I said, let's go out and talk. We went outside, and we talked, and he explained further detail the unique situation he's going through. Guess what? When I was in high school, I went through the exact unique situation that probably very few have ever gone through. And God led me to him so I could help him with his specific need. And when that was done, I said, wow, God is powerful. And when I become a witness of the power of God, then I get excited about running the race for God. Now, there are many times when I've seen the witness and witnessed, I witnessed the power of God. There was a time when I was working on the farm. And when I was working on the farm, Mr. Bacon came to me and he said, Mike, if it doesn't rain tomorrow, my crops are going to die. And so I said, well, let's pray and God will make it rain. He said, it's not supposed to rain for 2 weeks. And they were having a famine in the land. I said, I'll guarantee you that if we pray for it, we need it. God says he'll make it rain. My God shall supply all your needs. He says, God's not going to make it rain for us, honestly. I went home and I prayed like I never prayed. God, show Mr. Bacon that you answer prayer. Make it rain tomorrow. Make it very convincing. And I didn't do anything. I just prayed about it. And you know, the next day I come back, we're working in the field. Look at me, young man. Look up here, buddy. As soon as we're in the field, we look up. Look at me now. Look at me, buddy. I see some clouds forming. Now, it wasn't supposed to rain for 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden, I say, Mr. Bacon, we better get into the barn. And as soon as we get in the barn, boom, the rain came down. And then when it's done, I said, count your rain gauge or look at your rain gauge. And you know what we saw? It had rained 3.5 inches. Now, I've witnessed the power of God. Now, there was a time when I had a need for one of the ministries that I've been doing. I needed $50,148. You got it? You got $50,000? You don't either. Okay, I didn't think so. Now, I needed $50,148, and here's what I did. I got on my knees, and I said, God, I have a ministry I'm doing. I don't have any way for this need to get met. I need $50,148, and I need it this month. And then I prayed, honestly, guys, I'm not exaggerating. I prayed, Lord, you can do it today as much as you can do it tomorrow. And if I don't have $50,000 before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to shut this ministry down. Now, I didn't tell one person about it. And then that night, a man came up to me, handed me an envelope, and out fell a check for $50,000. I have witnessed the power of God. Now, guess what's happening? I have witnessed the power of God. Now, as a result of that, listen to me, I am witnessing of that power. Now, this is what a race is. The race is I'm a witness for Him. I am faithful to Him. I experience and testify my experiences and share Christ with the world. Now, the third testimony, or the third witness, is somebody that's willing to be a martyr. Now, take your Bibles and turn back here to Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about these who made it in the faith chapter. You've got these great men and women who have seen the power of God. They have testified of the power of God in their day. And that's what we're supposed to do with our in our day. But then I want you to notice something, that they also went through difficulties, and some of them even were martyred. Chapter 11 in verse 33, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousnesses, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That's Daniel in the lion's den. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. But others were what? Tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might receive a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mockings. They were scourged. They used to take a Christian, tie him up, take a cat of nine tails, a handle with 9 leather strips, pieces of sharp rock, bone, and metal. Because of their faith, they would beat them with that, they would lash it, and the leather would snap, shoot bone, rock, and metal into their bodies. They would jerk it, and it would rip off 9 tracts of their flesh. They would beat them 13 times from the right side, 13 times from the left side, 13 times down the center, and just tear them up. Verse 37. Verse 36, they were imprisoned. They would put a Christian in the prison. Verse 37, they were stoned. They would dig a hole in the ground, throw the Christian in the ground, and then people would take the biggest boulder that they could carry, and they throw them on that person and break their bones. After beating them and tearing them up with these stones, then six or so would pick up the biggest boulder the six could carry together, carry it over to the hole, pick it up and thrust it down on that Christian, breaking their skull or their sternum and finishing them off. It says they were sawn asunder. They would hollow out a log, put a Christian through the log, cut the Christian in half as they cut the log in half. And then it says, these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. And then it says, seeing that we have such great examples of how to run the race, then you run the race in your day. Now here it is in a nutshell. Running the race for God, look up this way, is people being faithful to testify of God in their day, no matter what. People that are willing to live for God, stand for God, and testify for God in their day, even to the death. And that's the history of racing. Now, how are you doing as far as your personal race of testifying about the things of God? How are you doing in your personal race when it comes to enduring? Now, let's look secondly at that standard of good racing. The standard of good racing. Now, in currently, the three top racers for Joe Gibbs Racing Team, see if anybody remembers who they are since we're kind of on this theme. Who would be the three top racers for the Joe Gibbs Racing Team?
Tony Stewart.
Good one. And what car does Tony Stewart drive?
The Toyota.
The Toyota, yeah, but what's the... Number 20 M&M. Now, what did it used to be?
Tony Home Depot.
Home Depot. No, it wasn't in Interstate Batteries. Who knows what it used to be? Now it's M&M. Good. I think you might be right. Home Depot. But then, no, it's not Home Depot. Number 20 is Home Depot, isn't it? That's right. Now, who does number 20? Tony Stewart. All right, now then, you've got Kyle Busch. He does the M&M car. And then you have the third racer. It is that third racer in the race today is, I can't remember his name at the time, Denny Hamlin. Now, why are these guys chosen by Joe Gibbs Racing to drive those three cars? Reason that they are chosen is because of their success record. Now, I could go over the success record, but I don't want to take time to do that, because what we really want to look at is what is the success record for the Christian race. All right, the success record for the Christian race is wrapped up in one word, and I want you to get this, and I know that I'm not giving you necessarily anything new, but I'm trying to challenge you, and we're trying to encourage you. Here's what the standard for good racing to Christian life is. Endurance. Endurance. So many people are flash in the pan. They get up, get saved, and they get gone. But what God's looking for is endurance. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, at verse 6, it says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, those that endure. Now, there are a lot of racers, and basically racing is, if you do the Daytona 500, most of those cars are pretty much the same as far as ability, and most of the drivers are pretty much the same as ability. But one person wins the race. Why? Because he's worked it out in such a way that he lasts a little bit longer than the others. There have been a lot of races that have been lost in the very last lap because somebody's car just won't make it. Right? And what God is looking for in the Christian life is that we would be people that would be enduring when our girlfriends don't. Enduring when our friends don't. Enduring when something comes along that would take us away. All right, please look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For it by it the elders obtain a good report. Now, these in this faith chapter received a good report, and the good report was that they endured. They were faithful to the end. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Hebrews 12 verse 3. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners. The standard for NASCAR racing might be finishing in the top 10, but the standard for the race of the Christian life is endurance. Now, I went into the hospital one time, and a man came to me. A man in the hospital was very sick. He was probably on his deathbed. And he pulled me aside, and he said to me, "Brother Mike, would you pray for me?" I said, "Yes, what would you want me to pray for you about?" He said, "Pray for me that I would have faith." Now, I looked at this man, and I thought, here he is, a great Christian, and I thought, he's got more faith in him than I do. So I said to him, "Sir, you're a great Christian. I ought to be asking you to pray for me that I would have faith." I said, "You have more faith in your pinky than I have in my whole body." And then he responded with, "No, I don't have faith." I said, "Why would you say that?" He said, "If I had faith, I wouldn't be sick." All right, right here in the blue shirt. Look up this way, buddy, okay? Now, there's a denomination that teaches that the test of your faith is that if you never get sick, all right? Guys, look at me now. The test of your faith is that you never get sick. But that's not the case. The test of your faith is if everything goes well. If you live for God, you're going to always be smiling. If you live for God, you're always going to get the girl you want. If you live for God, you're always going to have friends. And if you live for God, you're going to be doing real well in sports, and God's going to help you make success in everything. Now, let's see if we live for God, if God always works things out really and makes life easy all the time. Take your Bibles and turn back to Genesis chapter 9, and I want to look at rather an odd verse, but it's in the Bible for a good reason. In the Bible, it talks here about one of the men that made it in the faith chapter, Hebrews 9 and verse 29. His name was Noah. And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he what? All right, now what happened to Noah? Noah got sick, and he died. Now, did Noah drop out on God? Was Noah backslidden? No. He just, even as a great Christian, still got sick and had problems. All right, please look at Genesis chapter 23, and there's another person who is in the faith chapter in Genesis 23. The second person that we're referring to is Sarah in verse 1. And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah what? Died. Did Sarah have any problems in her life? Yes. Now look at Genesis 25, and we'll find another person who made it in the faith chapter, Abraham. Genesis 25 and verse 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age. All right, look up this way. If the test of our faith was if we never had any problems, then these people wouldn't be in the faith chapter. Now, we're talking about what the standard is for good racing. The standard for good racing, guys, I'm trying to kind of tie in this Joe Gibb theme, but really more important than the Joe Gibb theme is the Bible theme. And here's what the Bible theme is. The standard for good racing is that we're faithful and that we endure. Now, some of you might think, for instance, that Abraham is in the faith chapter for all the great things that he did. Somebody might think, well, Noah's in the faith chapter because he built that big ark. Somebody else might say, well, Moses is in the faith chapter because he's the one that God used to part the Red Sea, and he did that big miracle, and he got water out of the rock. Now, listen to me. They're not in the faith chapter. Guys, need eyeballs up here. They are not in the faith chapter because of what big thing they accomplished. They're in the faith chapter because they stayed faithful through difficult times. Now listen to me. TAC Conference, Teens in Action for Christ, what the standard is for you and your race for the Christian life, and it's not just a cute phrase, Paul says, run the race! Paul says, run the race! It's not just a little phrase we're doing for a cute little thing and having a TAC conference. Paul says, run the race. And you know what he says as he says, run the race? The test of your faith is if you endure. Now, you know why Noah's in the faith chapter? For 120 years, he had to build an ark with no rain in sight, but he kept doing what God told him to do. He's in the faith chapter because for 120 years, people mocked him. How many of you go to public school? How many of you have ever gotten mocked in your public school for Christianity? And in spite of that, how many of you are homeschoolers? Would you raise your hand? How many of you have ever been called a homeschool nerd or something like that because of your faith? Now you listen to me. 120 years, people mocked him, but he stayed faithful and he still built the ark. Now, why is Moses in the faith chapter? Not because of what he did, calling water from the rock, not because of what he did in the parting of the Red Sea, but he's in the faith chapter because he endured all the complaining and all the difficulties of the wilderness journey. And that's why he is in the faith chapter. All right, look up this way. How many of you guys do woodwork? Would you raise your hand? All right. One thing I learned about woodworking is don't buy cheap tools. Would you agree? And the test of a tool is how long it lasts, right? Now, guys, we're looking at running the race for God. What is God looking for from you and from me? It's not some sharp start, but it's endurance and how long you last. All right, now, guys, as we talk about the race for God and running that race, first of all, the history of racing. Those who are in the faith chapter, they are witnesses of the things of God. They've experienced them, they testify of them, and they're even willing to die for them. And the standard of good racing is even if it is to the death, they are faithful. Even if they are mocked, they are faithful. Even if they can't see the good of it, they are faithful. And that is the standard that God puts before us as we run laps around Joe Gibbs Racing. What we're doing is far more important than anything that he's ever accomplished. All right, now, the third thing I want to give you is the secrets for good racing, all right? The secrets of good racing. Now, say that with me. I said, with me. I wasn't talking. All right, let's say it together. Ready? The secrets of good racing. Good. One more time. The Are you ready for them? I'm not very good at racing, but there's some people in the Bible who are really good that we can learn some secrets from. Are you ready? Here's what they are. All right, now the secret of good racing, you have to, first of all, three things. You have to keep the car in shape. This is all point number one. You keep the car in shape. You got to keep good tires on the vehicle so you got a good grip on the road. You got to keep fuel in the vehicle. Many races have been lost in the final laps as the tire blows or as the fuel runs out. That's why they always try to plan their pit stop. Right? Now, you got to fuel a certain time. You got to make sure you don't run out of fuel. You got to make sure that car's running right. And you got to make sure that your tires are good and you grip the road. You got to basically stay in good shape for the race. Now, when it comes to the race for God, here's the first secret to good racing. If you will get it, you will stay in good shape. You will keep a strong grip on the road. You will not run out of fuel. This is the truth. Mark it down and listen with both ears. This is the secret to staying in shape. Here it is. Get it. Faith. You got to have faith. Now, I don't get this, guys. Say it with me. Faith. Faith. Good. You waited for me. You got to have faith. Say it with me. You got to have faith. Again, faith.
Again, faith. And then say it with me. You gotta have faith. Again, faith. Say it with me. You gotta have faith. Now, I want you to see this. I got ahead of myself before. I'm going to show it to you now. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 again, verse 1 and 2. Now, why is it that these guys had fuel and they didn't run out and they were in good shape and never went off the road? And why is it that these guys just kept going and they were able to finish the race that was set before them? It was their faith. All right, please notice verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it, faith, the elders obtained a what? All right, look up this way. Now, some of you have not even gotten to first base when it comes to your faith. Now, when you look at the world around you, the reason that some people are believers in Christ and some people are really doing well in their life and some are not doing so well is because of their faith. Now, it all starts with first faith that there is a God. Are you convinced of it? Are you convinced of it? Are you convinced of it? How many of you are convinced of it? Faith that there is a God. Would you raise your hand? Now, you're not just talking. You believe it. Now, some of you, perhaps, are like some teenagers who say, yeah, I heard that before. Yeah, okay, there's a God. All right, yeah, we believe that. But guys, this needs to be something that gets down inside your heart and that you really grasp a hold of. All right, look at Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 3. All right, now get this. If you're a little sleepy, why don't you slip out and go to that back row, okay? That way you won't make your snoring make somebody else sleep, okay? Now, all right, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, get this. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. All right, look up this way. How many of you believe in evolution? I don't, do you? How many believe in creation? Now, is that something in your head, or is it deep down in your soul? This has to be deep down in your soul that there is a God who created us, or else you're not going to be faithful in the race. Now, there's so many illustrations about how foolish evolution is. Believing in evolution is like taking a handful of watch parts, throwing it up in the air, and a million years later you come down with a watch. Isn't that dumb? Believing in evolution is like believing that a plane flies over the top of Lattimore, North Carolina, and drops out a bunch of wooden mortar, and out comes this building. Isn't that dumb? Now, you know why, how they say that the world came about? There was a cold cloud, and it spun around the sun. And it began to rotate and went faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And before long, it formed a hard matter on an outside ring. So that outside ring got real hard, all the particles going, and then they formed a crust kind of thing. Then it went really fast and then faster, and then it picked up so much speed that it broke apart and was flung in space in form of huge planets. I got it directly out of their book on evolution. Basically, there was a big bang, boom, out came this universe. You want to know how stupid that is? Take an M80 firecracker, it's about a quarter stick of dynamite. Pack it with a mud ball. Leave the wick hanging out. Light that M80 firecracker up, and when it blows up, see if planets are formed. How many of you breathe air? How many of you breathe air? Oh, monkeys breathe air! Doesn't that prove we came from monkeys? How many of you eat bananas? Oh, monkeys eat bananas. Doesn't it prove? All it proves is that there are similarities. Now, there are so many similarities, so they say we must have evolved from a monkey. Now, with that logic, you could say, couches have four legs. Dogs have four legs. Therefore, dogs evolved from couches. Isn't that dumb? I've seen people with puppy dog eyes. Does that mean we came from puppy dogs? I've seen people with frog eyes. Does that mean we came from frogs? All it means is that there are similarities. The heavens declare
the glory of God. And we can look around us and we can say, hey, there's too much detail, guys, for all this to have just happened. Now watch. This might sound silly, but I can move one finger, two fingers, five fingers. It happens with an electric impulse going through my arm, and it tells my fingers what to do. It's amazing. My eye is the greatest camera known to man. I can go into a dark room, and my eye will get really big. I will go right in the light, and immediately it'll get really small. How's that happen? It's amazing. And I can look at all the things of creation, and what that does is it builds my faith. Now, guys, if you're just going to be somebody sitting in a youth group week after week, sitting, soaking, and brain dead, you're not going to be faithful. But you've got to own it for yourself that it's not just Dad saying, God made me, God made you, God made you, God made you. You got to believe it for yourself. And that needs to be something that excites you and something that fuels you. You were made by God. Now, you look at the creation. Here are the things that keep you going, fueled, and your grip. All right, there is a God. Number two, I can believe the Word of God. All right, please look at Hebrews 11. Well, you don't need to for time, but you're welcome to. Sarah, it says she did what she did because she believed the promise. Why did Noah build an ark? Anybody tell me? God told them to. God said there's going to be a flood. Was there ever a flood before then? He believed the Word of God, Noah being warned of God. And everybody, why did Abraham go to the promised land? Because God told him. And he believed God. Now, you believe the Word of God. Number two, you believe the existence of God. And number three, the thing that'll make you keep your faith and you won't lose your grip is when you believe in the goodness of God. Now, why did Abraham leave the land of the Ur of Chaldees? Because God said, I want to take you to a land of promise. And the promise was blessings. Now, if you guys will understand and believe that it is true that what God promises He'll do for those who live for Him, He'll do for you. If you'll believe that. Now, I'm really believing that we've got a lot of young people here that are just too cold. And just as a short time evaluation, I think you got a lot of young people here that are not doing drugs and smoking. I think there might be some that are. But I think we got a lot of young people here that are bored. Not just because of me. You're just bored all the time. And you know why you're bored all the time? Because you have not believed. There is a God. And every word in the Word of God is true. How do you think I could believe and experience exciting things I've experienced if I didn't believe the Word of God? How do you think I could ever seen $50,000 put in my pocket, gone the next week, for what it was needed for? But how could I ever have seen that if I didn't believe the Word of God? How could I ever have seen what I saw yesterday if I didn't believe the Word of God? And you'll never experience God and have the joy of the race and all the joys that come in that race if you don't have faith to fuel you. Now, in order to be a successful racer, number one, the secret of good racing is you've got to have faith. Now, number two, the secret in good racing is you got to make the car as light as possible. Now, how many of you have ever been in a race before? Physical race. Have you racing, as you're racing, the night before you race, do you go out and you eat like a whole pizza? What happens if you eat a whole pizza? Are you going to be a little weighted down? How many of you have ever been running, and when you're running in practice, you put those little weights around your ankles? And that builds up your muscle. But before the race, do you get rid of that weight? Now, in Joe Gibbs Racing, here's one of the secrets to their racing and being so successful. They have a Toyota, which is a three,
a six-cylinder engine instead of the Pontiac and Chevrolet, which is with an eight-cylinder engine. Now, being a six-cylinder engine, guys, you know that there's probably not as much horsepower you would think, but there is in these things. But in addition to only having six cylinders instead of eight cylinders, it's a lighter vehicle. That's his secret. Now, in order for you to be faithful to God, you got to have faith. But here's the second thing you got to do. You got to lay aside the extra weight. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, here's what the weights are that are keeping you from running the race for God. Here's what's keeping some of you from running the race. Some of you need to lay aside the weight that's holding you back. And guys, it could be you need to lay aside your girlfriend. Now, I've seen more young men that start the race well, but then a pretty girl comes along and they get sidetracked, mesmerized. It's all they think about. And frankly, she's not that spiritual as it is. And she drags him down. Now, some of you, your weight might be there's a boyfriend. And that boyfriend is weighing you down. Now, here's what some of you might need to lay aside. It might be another kind of friend. It could also be PlayStation. That thing could be so mesmerizing you that you're not focused on the things of God. You're not serving like you used to. You're not involved in youth group like you used to be. You got to lay aside the weights. Now, you know what it could be? It could be a job. Dale Harper was a guy, when I was sitting with him at a restaurant, Dale was going to be a preacher. Dale and I used to talk about preaching all the time, but one day Dale got a job. And Dale's job started to take him away from church on Sunday night and away from church on Wednesday nights. And before long, Dale was working more than he was in church. And I'll never forget the day when Dale came to me and Dale said, Mike, if there's anyone in the world that I think is going to be a preacher 10 years from now, I think it's going to be you. You know what I said? I looked at Big Dale Harper, 6'5", and I said, no, Dale, if there's anybody who's going to be preaching 10 years from now, it's going to be Dale Harper. And Dale Harper told me the bad news. He said, no, I've decided I'm not preaching. And Dale Harper since then has fallen out of the race. He's not even going to church. He's been divorced, and he is not even living for God. And I'm telling you, the weight that beset him and slowed him down was he got a job that took him out of church. Now, guys, I've got a billion things I'd like to say to you, but I'm trying to tell you, guys, there are things that are keeping some of you from being what you could be for God. Now, number one secret is you got to keep a good grip on the road, keep your car in shape, keep fueled, and that is by faith. Say that. You got to have faith. Say it again. Faith. You got to have faith. Again, faith. You got to have faith. Faith that there is a God, that He is good, and that everything that the Bible says is something I can believe. Say it with me. Faith. You got to have faith. That's the fuel that'll keep you going and keep your grip on the road. Now, you also got to make yourself light for the race. And what is it that you have to lay aside that is weighting you down? Is it a boyfriend? You know what I could find out? All I'd have to do is ask your youth pastor. Yeah, she was on fire for God, but then this guy came along. Yeah, he was on fire for God, and then he got this job. What weight do you have to lay aside? Now, then it says something else you got to do. Then it says you got to lay aside the sin that does so easily beset you. Now, on August 11th, 2008, Joe Gibbs Racing ran into a little snag. You know what happened? They found out that somebody with Joe Gibbs Racing was doing an illegal thing. They told them that they had to cut down the horsepower by 15 horses. And as they cut down that horsepower, they cheated a little bit, not Joe Gibbs, but somebody working for him, and stuck a magnet under the pedal, and when they pushed down to test it to find the horsepower, it wouldn't go to the floor. And for the race, they took the magnet out, and then they could push and get more acceleration in horsepower. Now, it was found out that someone had cheated. Joe Gibbs didn't cover it. He said, I found out. He said, I take full responsibility. We'll do an investigation to find out who did it, and we will deal with them strongly. Now, he's a Christian, and he's kept his Christian testimony. But because somebody sinned and did an illegal thing, it stopped them from being able to, at this point, be part of these successes. Now, if you get involved in sin, guys, sin will not only affect you in a NASCAR race, but sin will affect you in the life that your race that you're living in. Now, sin can just totally wipe out your life. And so you've got to lay aside the sins, you've got to lay aside the weights, and that's what's going to keep you going. Now, as we're talking about Joe Gibbs Racing, I wrote this message last night, of course. And as I wrote this message, I had you guys in mind. I've been thinking about it all week, and I'm putting it together. And I'm wanting to challenge you young people about how it affects or how it ties racing to the race of the human life. And as we run the race for God, the first thing that we have noticed is the history of the race. God just basically wants us to testify for Him and be faithful even to the end. The secrets of the race is we've got to have faith in Him. Number two, we've got to lay aside the weights. Number three, we've got to lay aside the sins. Now, the third thing that I want to draw your attention to, and I already did too, is the standard for good racing is endurance. And then the conclusion I want to look at is the joy of racing. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, the reason that Christ did what He did in going to the cross was because of the joy that was before Him. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, race is the idea of there'll be a victory for someone. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the guide, and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Now, there's always joy in a race if you win it. There's victory lane. Now, typically, when somebody gets to victory lane, what do they do in victory lane? They do donuts. They do backflips. I saw a guy one time when he won that race. He climbed up the side of the fence where those fans were, climbs up to the very top. Other fans climbed up over the top and did a high five with the fans. Usually when there's a victory race or a victory, they go to victory lane. And as soon as they do their donuts and pull in the victory lane, everybody's excited. The fans are going wild. Everybody's up cheering. And then the press surrounds the person. After the press surrounds the person, then cameras are flashing everywhere. Then, usually, a beautiful girl will stand up right behind the guy who just won the race, and she just stands there and smiles, doesn't say a word. She's beautiful, and she's quiet. That's what all women should be, right, guys? Beautiful and quiet. Just kidding, girls, okay? Now, you guys ought to be NASCAR racers. You get a beautiful, quiet woman. But anyway, there's this great victory, and then at the very end, they have that crowning moment where they bring the crown. They bring the trophy. And I want you to turn in your Bibles now to 2 Timothy chapter 2. One day, if we're faithful to Christ, we will reach victory lane. And when we reach that victory lane, the Bible teaches that there are rewards for living for the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, I want to read verses 1 through 8. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not, what? Endure. And what's the test of a good race? Endurance. So they will not endure sound doctrine. But after thine own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. They shall be turned unto fables. They don't endure. But watch thou on all things. What's the next word? Endure. Say that. Endure affliction. Do the work of the evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. Speaking of himself. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. That's his race. I have kept the faith. As a result, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a what? Crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only. Now look up here, park. Take a little break. You gotta have what? Faith. You gotta believe there's a God, and you gotta believe He's a good God, but you also have to believe the Word of God. And what does the Word of God teach here for us? All right, let's get back driving. Look back at verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And here's where we parked, and here's where we start again and close. And not to me only. Say that. And not to me only, but unto what? All them that love thy appearing. So do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Now, there is a crown, a reward for everyone who is faithful. Now, this particular message, I'm not in your face. I'm not preaching a lot to drive you to make decisions or all that. But what I am doing is trying to get you to think and to be encouraged. There is a race. And what is that race? Being a faithful servant of God, but also being a faithful what? Witness for God. Sometimes that witness is of what God's done in our life. Sometimes it's what we've seen His Word says. But we are faithful to witness to of God in our age, even if we end up a martyr for it. Now, most of us aren't going to be martyrs, but are we going to be mocked? Probably. We still endure. Now, the way that we endure is we keep our what? Faith. Say it with me. You gotta have faith. That there is a God, that He's good, and that everything this book says is true. If you believe that and you stand on that, you'll keep a good grip on the road. You have to understand the standard is not who can be a better Christian, who can see more people saved. The standard is, am I faithful and enduring, doing what I'm supposed to do? And then the joy of racing in the end, believe it, we'll get a crown. Let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder how many of you would say, Brother Mike. Brother Mike, first, as I run the race for the Lord, you'd say, Brother Mike, I recognize that there are some weights that are holding me down. And if you would say there are some weights, it may be a boyfriend, it may be a girlfriend, it may be an activity, it may be a job that's gotten you away from your faithfulness to youth group, faithfulness to church, and your enduring as Christian. And if you could say, Brother Mike, there are some weights that are holding me down in the race of the Christian life, and I recognize it, and I want to shed those weights. And if you would say there's a weight that's holding you down, would you slip up your hand if you could say, I could see that, and I want to turn from that? God bless you there. God bless you here. God bless you there. There's some weight that's holding me down, and I want to turn from that. Anybody else? God bless you over here on my right. God bless you, young man on my left. You, young lady on my left. Here, ma'am, young lady, all the way there toward the back. Thank you for responding. There's a weight that is keeping me from doing what God wants me to be doing. And it's time that I get serious about that race and shed the weight that's holding me back. That girl, that guy, that job, that thing, that activity. And if you would say there's a weight holding you back, is there anybody else? Just slip up that hand. God bless you, young lady. All right, shed the sin. which doth so easily beset us. Is there anyone who would say there's some sin in my life and I need to get that right with God because that sin will bring consequences in my life? If there's anyone like that, would you slip up your hand? God bless you, young lady. God bless you, young lady. God bless you, young lady on my left. There's some sin in my life. If I don't shed it, it's going to have consequences, just like Joe Gibbs Racing consequences. God bless you there. God bless you here. God bless you there. God bless you there. Here on the aisle, there's some sin in my life. And if I don't shed it, there are going to be some consequences. God bless you, young man, on the second row. And God bless you, young lady, on my left. Anybody else? Now, I wonder how many of you'd say, Brother Mike, one of the things that I notice is that in my life, I feel like I've had a lack of faith sometimes. Listen to me, that there is a God, like the Bible says, and I've had a lack of faith sometimes that the promises of God will work for me. If you've had a lack of faith in the God of the Bible, just look at creation. But if you've had a lack of faith, the promises in the Bible will work for you. You need to have faith again because they will work. And I wonder if there's anybody here who would say, Brother Mike, pray for me that I would have faith. I sense my faith wavering in the promises of God, but I'm going to put my faith back in them today the best I know how. If that's you, would you raise your hand if you struggle with your faith a little bit and you want to put your faith back in God? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Several of you across the room. 8 or 9 of you at least. Anybody else? There's some lack of faith in me. I want to get that faith going again. God bless you here. You can believe the promises of God. God bless you on the second row. God bless you there. God bless you there as well. All right, let's pray. Father, we do pray that you use these words that went forth. And Lord, we do pray that you'll help us to shed the weight that's holding us back as we run the race. Help us, Lord, to see our responsibility to run the race. Help us, Lord, to want to, for the joy is going to come as we finish that race.